Father, that's our cry this morning, is we want to be a people that are so aware of your presence that in every moment of our day, Lord, God, we hear your voice. God, we know when you're moving. We know when you're asking us to do something. And I pray that we would be people who would be aware of your presence in our everyday life. We say you're welcome here. You're welcome in our lives, in our everyday walk. You're welcome here, Holy Spirit. We love you. We thank you for just joining us here. We pray that you would move as we hear your words spoken this morning. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many of you believe that nothing good happens at midnight or after midnight? Right? Nothing good happens at midnight or after midnight. In Acts chapter 16, we find the exception. Something good happened at midnight. Brother Yun, in his book, The Heavenly Man, tells a story about one of his incarcerations in China. He woke up one morning and he was being persecuted for preaching the gospel. He was in jail preaching the gospel. He was on a hunger strike. He was very weak and having a very difficult time. He had been beat many times and he was just in a bad way and didn't know if there was a tomorrow. It was his midnight. And he woke up one morning and his jail cell was open. And he went to the door and looked around and there was no one there. And he walked out into the corridor and looked down the hallway and he noticed that the next gate was open. He walked down to that gate and that gate was open. He looked all around. He saw no guards. And he went for a walk. And he walked down the hallway and he found that the next gate was open. And then he found the next gate was open, and the next gate was open. He was in maximum security. He was in the middle of that jail. And he found himself in the courtyard of that prison, and he looked across the courtyard and noticed that the front gate was open. He walked out the front gate, and there was a taxi. The taxi pulled up. He got in the back seat and said, "Please go to this address, and when we get there, we'll give you some money." And he was let out of prison. God just opened all the gates to his prison. It was his midnight. And God opened all the doors to his prison. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. We find that midnight events happen. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, you notice the same thing that we read in Acts chapter 3. When Peter and John were on their way to the place of prayer at 3 o'clock, the miracle happened, and Peter saw his opportunity to share the gospel. We saw that last week. This week, we see an opportunity arises in another way. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "Paul had enough." He had enough of all that barking when they were on their way to the place of prayer. He turns to her and he says, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly, it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews. They shouted to the city officials, "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten. and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon, where Brother Young was, the inner place. In other words, if they break out of this place, they got to break out of the next place, and then they got to break out of the next place. And so he put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks, chains with that closure on the end of them, whatever they call that. And so there you have it. Midnight events happen. Paul and Silas found themselves in a terrible place on their mission trip. Paul and Silas were just doing what the Lord wanted them to do. And they were placed in a prison cell. They helped that woman and they were placed in a prison cell. She was set free from a demon and they were placed in a prison cell because the guys couldn't make money off her anymore in her fortune telling. Events like that happen. We often find ourselves in our midnights. And it's really no fault of ours. It's just the way things happen. We're being faithful. We're being diligent. We're doing the things that we're supposed to do. But yet, somehow or another, we are placed in our own jail cell. It's a truth of life. Midnight events happen. Many people believe that if you're serving the Lord, nothing difficult is going to come your way. Oh man, that's not in the Bible. That's not Paul's experience. That's not Silas's experience. That's not Peter and John's experience. That's no one's experience that we find in the New Testament. It's not experience in life. It's not the way it is. If you're serving the Lord and you're living for the Lord and you're loving the Lord and you're being faithful to Him and you know you're just your heart's in the right spot, it does not mean you're exempt from problems in this world. Matter of fact, it means that there are often times that you may have more problems because of your faithfulness to Jesus. Because God uses midnights in our lives to show that He is God and to give a strong, powerful witness. So, we can learn from this passage of Scripture that midnight events happen. We can also learn from this Scripture that midnight events often expose us to who we really are. When everything is going good, people look good. When everything is rosy, people are exempt from revealing who they really are. But oftentimes, God allows midnight events to happen so that who we really are is exposed, so that who we really are can be helped. Now, Paul and Silas, it revealed who they really were. We see that in verse 25. Who they really are people dedicated to God. Now, they've been beaten. They've been whooped hard. They've been beaten naked. They've been placed in the inner dungeon. It's dark. They've had stocks put on their feet. There's no escape for them. They can't get out. Paul and Silas don't know what tomorrow holds for them. In their mind, now, we see it from the result, right? We see it from what happens at midnight. But in their life, they had to believe that for them, this was it. Their life was going to end right there. So how did Paul and Silas respond to this? It says in verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. They responded by prayer. They responded by praise. It was all they could do. What else could they do? They couldn't argue with anybody. They couldn't reason with anybody. They couldn't call anyone to realize the mistake that had been made. Paul's a Roman citizen. He's not supposed to be in there. But he doesn't even have an avenue for any of that. Do you know that oftentimes midnight events happen to get us to a place that we realize that God is all we have? And do you realize that most of us spend a lot of energy trying to handle things that God is trying to get us to the place where we realize that God is all we have, and in reality, God is all we need? Because it had been foolish for Paul and Silas to come up with a masterful scheme here. Tell you what we're going to do here, Paul. What, Silas? What are we going to do? When they come in and bring our food, we're going to Jason Bourne them. Of course, they didn't know who Jason Bourne was. You know, they didn't get that luxury. You know, Silas, we can't do that. These are chains on our feet. And if we are able to get a hold of that guard and we're able to knock him out, we still got chains on our feet. How are we going to get those chains off? Well, we'd find the key. All right, if we found the key and we can open that door, how are we going to open the next one? How are we going to whoop all them guards that are out there? There was no plan they could make. There was no solution other than God. What a wonderful place to be in, where you come to the place where, well, I guess all we can do now is rely upon God. And that is stated like a bad thing. You know, the old story of the lady says, guy says, we really need to pray about that problem. She says, oh no, has it come down to that? Are we that bad off that all we can do now is pray about this matter? And that does tend to be our mindset often to our midnight events. You know, like it's a bad thing that all we can do is praise. It's a bad thing that all we can do now is prayer because we have no solutions. But that needs to be on top of the chart. That's a beautiful thing. That's a great thing. Oftentimes, when the midnight events happen, we learn that we've been taking shortcut to faith lessons along the way. God has been teaching us, and we have not been responding to the lessons that God has been teaching us. And so when the midnight event happens, we're way behind the eight ball. No time to catch up spiritually when the midnight event happens, right? It's not the time to start praying. It's the time to continue to pray. It's not the time to start believing. It's the time to continue to believe when the midnight events happen. But all of us know that when things happen that are beyond us, that we must praise and we must pray, we discover that we have not been heeding the lessons of faith that God has been teaching us to get us ready for the midnight event. At midnight, we often learn that our prayer life is weak. We need to get the people to pray for us that God hears their prayers. And that's a good thing, to rally the troops to pray for us. But it's when the midnight event happens, that's not the time for us to discover that our prayer life is weak. At midnight, we often discover that we have not been living by faith. We've been living on someone else's faith. We've been living off a religion. We've been living off the idea of faith, but not faith. Because we're not in a place where we can believe God for our midnight. Their midnight, in jail, beaten, no hope of life tomorrow. That's their midnight. When we have our midnights, maybe it's a great challenge. Maybe it's a problem that you can't do anything about. Maybe it's a physical issue. Maybe it's a problem with a loved one that we can't do anything about. We can't solve it. We can't make things better. And we discover that our prayer life is weak. We also learn in this story, I think, a very valuable lesson. Midnight events are opportunities. And one of the things that we need to train ourselves to be able to do is when we have a midnight event, a problem, a struggle, a trial, we are ready to embrace the opportunity. What's the Lord going to do? How's He going to do it? How is the testimony going to be heard? What is God going to do through this crisis that we're in? How is God going to use this hurt, this pain, this difficulty? How's the Lord going to use this illness? How's He going to use this trial in my life? Paul and Silas are there and they're praying and singing. The only audience is God and jailers. But obviously for Paul and Silas, that was enough. They did what they could do. They did what they should do. They did the most powerful thing there is to do. They prayed and they worshiped. And so we learn from Paul and Silas that midnight crises are opportunities for God to do what only God can do. Verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. I heard it said once about that is that it was Paul and Silas's chains that were the main focus of the miracle here. But when God does a miracle, there's lots of overflow. And all the other prisoners were blessed because of His mighty power coming down. I've heard that when Jesus rose from the grave, and Matthew talks about that people came out of the grave, and when Jesus died and all that happened, all that power was released, and the veil torn in two, and all that weakened power, that the people who were in those graves just couldn't stay there any longer. There was way too much overflow of the power of God. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. I wonder what he said. He woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. After all, it's his responsibility. He's in a bad way here. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here. We are all here." Now, I believe that those other prisoners saw something so unbelievable that they couldn't leave. They saw the hand of God. They saw Paul and Silas being the men of God, and the testimony was so unbelievable, they couldn't leave. They couldn't escape. They would rather stay in prison and be where God was than to run for their lives. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? That's basically what I get out of that. That may or may not be the case, but man, when God moves, it's our nature. We don't want to go anywhere else. I want to be where God moves. I want to be where God is recognized. I want to be where God shakes prison walls. I'd rather be in the prison and Him shake a wall than to be living a free life and no walls are shook. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a Christian life where there's no walls shaking. There's no answers to prayer. There's no miracles happen. It's just good old boy religion. I don't want to be part of any good old boy religion. I want to be part of what God does. I want to be part of what God is about. I want to see midnight miracles happen. And I want to see God work in such a way that if I'm in jail and the shackles are removed from me and the prison doors are busted open because two crazy men have been in there praying and worshiping God, I'm going to stay with them and praise and worship God because God trumps everything. He trumps everything. Don't kill yourself, jailer. We are all here. The jailer called for lights and ran for the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Man, midnight events are opportunities. About midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and worshiped. And God rattled the cage. God sent an earthquake. And the chains busted loose. And the gates to their jail cell was opened. Lord, if you don't move in these lives, the chains are not going to be removed. The jail cell to their situation is not going to be opened. Father, we come before you recognizing you're the God of all comfort. And Lord, you comfort us with every problem we have so that we can comfort others. And Lord, we have brothers and sisters that have come before your altar today. And Lord, they are in something that desperately needs your touch. We're so thankful, Lord, for the answer to prayers that happen in our congregation. We're so thankful, Lord, that sometimes you say yes, sometimes you say no. Sometimes, God, you say wait a while. Sometimes you just simply give us the strength to endure whatever prison we're in for a later time or a time of your choosing or for your testimony. And so, Lord, I just bring these before you. You know each one's situation. You know each one's hurt and pain. And I pray, Lord, that you will move. I just pray, Lord, that you will do something that is according to your will, that heaven will be done in their lives in such a way that your will happen, that, Lord, they will know, others will know, the jailers around them will know, the jailers, the ones that are holding them in will know that you are God, that you have moved, that you are all-powerful, that they're calling upon your name, and it's the greatest name to call upon. And Lord, you would just reveal yourself, and symbolically, perhaps through the shaking of the walls, the breaking of the chains, and the opening of prison doors. Help us to hear. Help us to believe. Lord, help us in our unbelief to believe. Help us to recognize that what you desire is what matters most. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. The last part of this scripture, maybe the most important part. In verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Verse 31, they replied, you may be seated, I'm sorry. I'm not done yet. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." Believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. They all believed in God. Sirs, what must we do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told them, "The city officials have said you are and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison. And we are Roman citizens, so now they want us to leave secretly." Certainly not. Now, That comes from someone that has touched the Lord. The Lord has touched them. That comes from someone that realizes who God is. Let them come themselves to release us. I absolutely love that. Let them come on down here and face us. When the police reported this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them. Then they brought them out and begged them to leave the city. Please leave. Enough's enough. Can you give us some relief here? You know, when our midnights become our opportunities, people beg for relief from the presence of God. God is so strong. There is so much evidence that God's people have been with God and that God is God, that people will beg us to leave them alone. The agony is more than they could bear. The gospel is more than they can bear. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. There they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. Then they left town. Can you imagine that prayer meeting? Can you imagine that service? Can you imagine that small group? Let me tell you what happened in that jail. Paul, where did the earthquake come from? From God. Did the walls shake? Oh, yeah. How'd them chains come loose? Man, they just popped. How'd that jail cell open? Quickly. Quickly. Never seen anything quite like that. Me neither. What a deal. God is God. And if we hadn't been thrown in prison, we wouldn't know all that. The midnight crisis, the midnight event, was an opportunity. Now, this midnight event made it impossible for the jailers to stay unbelievers. Now, we can believe and we can live to the place that just like the jailers, it's hard for people to stay lost around us. That we would live by faith to the abandoned place in such an unfettered way that the testimony of God through us just makes it hard for people to be lost. Let that set in for a moment. Midnight miracles still happen. May your will be done, Lord. May you move in our hearts. May you do what only you can do. In Christ's name, amen. Ushers, come forward, please.